Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Now let's pray and get into the Word today. Amen. Father, thank you that we get to declare how great our God really is. And God, you are the greatest above all, Father. And Lord, we thank you, Father. We ask that this time of worship has set an atmosphere where this word will come forth, it will go out, it will accomplish every single thing, meet every need that's in this house today or watching online. It has the power to do that. And so, Father, let's open up today and let's say, God, put it into me what you want me to have where I can be free today. In Jesus' name, the church says, amen. Starting a new series today called Worship Matters. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that. Worship matters. Now, it's not just general worship as we know it. Look to your neighbor and say, your worship matters. That's what I want to key on this series. And this is probably going to be, I know it's going to be at least three. Probably I'll go ahead and say it's going to be four. On the fourth part of this message, we're going to do something completely different here. So make sure you don't miss any of this leading up to the fourth Sunday of this message, okay? All right, just want to jump right into the Word today. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. These are the words of Jesus Christ himself. What we call the red verses are, he says, but now the hour is coming and now is. Everybody say it is now. In other words, we are living in this hour on planet Earth right now. He says, when true worshipers, everybody say true worshipers. Is there such thing as not true worship? Yes. Okay, we're talking about true worshipers will worship the Father in two ways, spirit and what? Truth. There's so much to unpack in this. I got to stay on course, though. Father is spirit and truth, for the Father is, come on, say it with me, seeking such to worship him. He shouldn't have to seek. He shouldn't have to seek, but he does. And then the next verse says this, God is spirit, and those who worship him must. Again, I love the way the Bible puts it. It says you must do this. It doesn't give you an option to opt out of this. He says, if you're going to worship me, you must do it this way, in spirit and in truth. Everybody say must. See, worship is not something you get to choose. You do, but you don't. You do if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. You get to choose whether or not. If you've got a real good personal relationship with Jesus, it's not a choice, it's a joy. Amen. It is an honor, it's a privilege. Now, when you hear the word worship, what comes to your mind? And there's several things that come to most people's mind. Now, again, you know this is a worship series I'm teaching on, so you may be a little more in-depth than others. But if you just ask general people, church, even church people out in public, when you think of worship, what do you think about? They'll say, well, music, singing, right? Yes. Singing, the worship service, you know, music and singing. And even lost people will tell you, that's what churches do on Sunday mornings. It's something we do Sunday mornings during church. We have the worship service. And if you're real kind of weird, you might say, that's that time some people throw their hands up and do this stuff. Okay, which is biblical. It's not denominational, Pentecostal, it's biblical. Okay, we'll talk about that some probably next week or the next week. But now, all these things we talked about, the singing, the music, the Sunday, the raising of the hands, all of that, everybody say all of that, those are expressions of worship. But it's not the definition of worship. But I think we have gotten in such a church clique pattern that we think that is worship. Sunday morning, first part of the service, music fires up, throw some words on a song, or we read them out of a book, we sing along, and that's a worship service. It's not a worship service. That's the elements of a worship service, but it doesn't qualify for a worship service. Not yet, anyway. And how many know the Bible talks about worship before music ever enters the picture? Before any music was ever played on planet Earth to give God glory, God had already talked about worship in heaven. If you will, real quickly, we're going to start at the end today and go backwards. So if you have your Bibles, go to the book of Revelations chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. The Bible describes this as being in the heavenlies. It says there's four living creatures, each having six wings, their eyes all around and within them. And they do not rest day or night, and they are saying this right here, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is, who was and is to come. That's worship going on. Right now, in the heavenlies, that is taking place. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Now go on to verse 10, or verse 9. Wherever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, verse 10. And the 24 elders, there's 24 elders right now. Everybody say, right now. Right now, the host of angels and all of heaven is declaring this, and 24 elders right now are falling before him who sits on the throne, and they're worshiping him who lives forever and ever, and they're casting their crowns before the throne. And here's what they are saying, verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord. 24 elders are declaring he's worthy right now. He's worthy. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Leave that up there just for a moment. Leave that verse up there. Now notice what heaven's doing. If you look, and we're not going to put this up, but back in verse 8, holy, holy, holy is being performed and sung right now. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That's amazing. Constantly going on in the presence of God because he desires our worship. Can I have a better amen on that? Amen. Now, when you get to verse 11, the third word, say it with me, worthy. Now, who's he talking about? You, God, are what?
Worthy.
Everybody say he's worthy. You, Lord, are worthy to receive glory and honor and power. You created all things. Without you, nothing else would exist. In other words, he created you to give him this glory. He created you to give him his praise and his honor and his worship. And it's not just singing. It's not just a worship team. It is your lifestyle. Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
So go ahead and put up the first note. Worthy, everybody say worthy. Worthy is the very foundation of worship. Come on now. As a matter of fact, if you pronounce worship in the way it's kind of was coming out of the Greek language, it's worth up, worth value. So when we worship, we're telling him he's valuable. Have you told him he's valuable this morning, or did you just sing along with some words? Amen? The word worthy is the Greek word axos, which means value. Did you let God know you value his presence today? Have you let God know from your lifestyle that you find him worthy and valuable for saving your soul and sending his son to die in your place? God, it is amazing we get to do this. God is not deserving worship because of what he gives us. He deserves it for who he is.
Amen.
Can I have a better amen there?
Amen.
It's not because, oh, I got an easy life this week, Lord, so I'm going to come in and really worship you. You've answered my prayers the way I wanted them answered, and I got this right here, and I got a good report here. Woo, I can't wait to get to church to worship. Man, you got to learn what worship is. Now, an excitement of getting here and celebrating with your brothers and sisters, yes. But he's worthy of 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The good phone call, the bad phone call, the medium phone call, the three-quarter phone call, the one-quarter phone call. He's worthy of our worship and value him all the time. It's not circumstantial based like we like to put him sometimes. I'm telling you, I can tell when people's had a good week and this church has been walking in victory during the week. The worship service is off the chart. I can tell when you didn't get good news. I can tell when there's something heavy on your heart. I can tell when your team lost a ball game Friday night. Because you bring that attitude that God's not valuable and God's not worthy because he hasn't met your desires. And therefore you hold back in worship. Come on. Guys, we got to get out of that routine. That is a worldly mindset of worship. We're going to learn something, man, and it's going to shape and change the atmosphere in here to the next level. Say amen to that. Amen. Psalms 29, verse 2 says this, "Give unto the Lord the glory due." The word due there is we owe him this. Now, how many got a bill due this next month? Yeah, more than one. Absolutely. Now, we don't just do that out of the goodness of our heart for them. That money belongs to them for what they're providing for us. So it's not that we're doing them a favor. We're doing them what already belongs to them. We're honoring them by giving it to them. If we dishonor them, they take the service away. But again, our bills are due because we owe it to them because it already belongs to them. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. So when we come in here to give God glory, it ain't like, well, look what we're giving you. It is due him. It is owed. Our worship is owed to him when we accept him as Christ. Amen. Come on. Yeah. I love it. Give the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Amen. Glory is already his. But what happens is when you and I begin to worship, it acknowledges who he is. And it acknowledges that we understand that he is worthy and he is valuable and we owe him this and it is our good pleasure. Now, I don't enjoy paying bills. I enjoy worshiping. I have to pay my bills. I don't have to worship, but I do have to worship. And it's not a have to, it's a get to. Can I have a better amen on that? So this morning, real closely, I want to give you four things this morning about worship. Go ahead and put the first one up. There's no way you can have worship, true, authentic worship, without being obedient and surrendering your life to God. Surrendering's the first half, but then you got to be obedient. Everybody say surrender and obedience. Now, I told you we was going to start at the back and work our way to the front. Now, let's go to the front. Let's go to Genesis. And I know y'all thinking, how in the world are you starting to use Revelations to Genesis? Why ain't you in the Psalms talking about worship? Worship's throughout the whole Bible. And I want to set a foundation today to let you know what's going on in heaven already. Now, what is expected from earth now that earth is created. And if you look in Genesis chapter 22, verses 3 through 5, this is what the Lord said here. Now, this is a conversation about Abraham fixing his sacrifice. God says, I want you to go up, and I want you to be obedient, and I want you to surrender or sacrifice your son to me. I want you to sacrifice Isaac to me. Now, watch this. We're familiar with this story, but we're never familiar with it from a standpoint of worship. You're going to learn something today. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Verse 4, then on the third day when Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off, so he saw where he's going to take him to sacrifice him and kill him. Verse 5, here's where I want to get to. And Abraham said to his young men, you guys, you stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. What is so ironic about this? This is the very first time the word worship is mentioned in the Bible. Notice here, there is no band. There are no musicians. There are no singers. It's not even a church service. This first mention of worship and worship service is all out of surrender sacrifice, and obedience, which is still the standard to qualify for authentic, true worship before the throne of God today. I think that is hilarious. Because we have put worship to Sunday morning, and you have to have the singers, and you have to have the band, and you have to have all the stuff. And if it ain't that, then we decide whether we like it or not. God have mercy on us. The first worship service, again, no band, no choir, no musicians, no singers, no church service. A man being obedient to the word of God to take up and says, we're going to worship God. And how many know when he began to worship God on that mountain, had his son and had the knife drawn back, and God says, wait, I know you love me now. Worship declares, God, we want to show you we love you. Now we're going to go, everybody say, we're going to go somewhere. You got to kind of stay involved in this message today, okay? Are you with me? Worship isn't connected to the music, the singing, the stuff. It's connected to obedience and surrender of God, just like Abraham. So go ahead and put up the next note. Abraham was willing to give God the most valuable thing in his life. That's worship, my friends. When you're ready to sacrifice and obey even the most valuable thing in your life, that's when you're ready to worship. How many know that's a worship level none of us have probably hit? Why? Because we go in here and we decide if we like the song, we'll sing along. If we don't, we won't. If we've had a good week, we'll give him a little more. If we've had a bad week, we'll hold back on him. That's why I say this is the very first foundation. Is he worthy? Do you value him? It's quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. Which leads me right to a verse that I love, but I'm just going to do the first part of it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, not 2. He says, he's writing to the Rome church here. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. Everybody say your body. Your body as a what? Living sacrifice. How? Holy, acceptable to God, which is your? Reasonable. I love that word reasonable. You know what reasonable means? It's reasonable. Reasonable means he's not asking you to do anything above and beyond. Although he says when you worship him, he will give you above and beyond anything you can think or imagine. He says, you don't have to do that. You just give me reasonable. I'm not asking you to do something out of the ordinary. I'm not asking you for extra. I'm just asking you for what I want from you. I'm asking you to worship me. That's what God wants. He designed us to have worship and fellowship with him. Are you with me? Now, Paul is using the Old Testament sacrifice language here. Present your bodies a what kind of sacrifice? Living sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice was it looking like that Abraham was going to have to give Isaac to, a dead one? What kind of sacrifices throughout the whole Old Testament for the remissions and repentance of sin did we have to offer? A dead one. Under the new covenant, you and I become the living sacrifice. We go to worship 24/7. All our body, all our spirit, all our soul, all our might, everything about us is a living sacrifice to God. And it uses the word sacrifice, which means to surrender to obey. Anybody connecting this morning? You got to be a little prophetic in here to connect some of this stuff this morning, okay? So again, we're no longer under dead sacrifices, you and I. That's why I said your worship matters. My matters. Yours matters. Your neighbor's matters. Turn to your neighbor and say, it matters. It matters, okay? You're a living sacrifice. He's not asking you to die. He's asking you to live. Live in his glory. Live in his blessings. Live in the worship of him. Wow. Real quickly, the second point. Worship is, go ahead and put it up. Worship is relationship. Now, that's just three words. When I first done it, I had worship is all about relationship. But I didn't want to put it's all about relationship because it's not all about relationship. It is relationship or it's not. Right. It's not just about, I have this relationship with God, but then I have this. No, it is relationship. And either you have one or you don't. There is no lukewarm middle ground with God. Either he's valuable and he's worthy of worship or he's not. And it's not a roller coaster ride. Now, life will try to take you on your emotional ride. And there's a And I like it. There's a little thing on Facebook going around now about we've been taught to control our emotions, and that's an unbiblical thing. We're supposed to share our emotions. And can I tell you, that's not a full truth in that. And the misleading of that means to say that you can't control your emotions. You got to experience them. And of course, surrender them to God. Yes. But God gave us our emotions not to control us. Amen. So if our emotions were not meant to control us, then yes, we are meant to control our emotions. Not deny that we don't have them, to admit we got them, but to not give them the power where they control us. So worship cannot be controlled by anything on earth. Your worship and my worship is absolutely controlled 100% by us. I chose today to come in here and worship, regardless of my circumstances. There's been days I didn't feel like worshiping. I worship by faith because I value him and he's worthy no matter how I feel. Whether it's great or whether it's bad, it doesn't matter. He is God and he is valued and he is worthy of my worship. 100% of the time, all the time. So worship is relationship. John chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus again, the words of Jesus. He says, everybody say abide. Jesus is speaking here. He says, I want you to abide in me. Not just with me when it's convenient. I want you to abide in me. Amen? When we know when we get born again and we accept salvation as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and he saves us, he comes and lives in us, not just with us. Okay? So he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Go ahead and put the definition of the word bide. It's the word minnow. That's an easy Greek word for me to pronounce. And it means to remain. Let's just stop right there. It means to remain. Remain means don't go anywhere. Remain means you got your feelings hurt, but you don't leave. Remain means I didn't get my way, but I don't go nowhere. Remain means everybody didn't do the way I thought they should do, but I stay. Immature, even worshipers or Christians, will get their feelings hurt one time and exit the building. Exit the relationship. Exit the marriage. Exit the business. They just exit. Why? Because that's the easiest thing to do. Worship requires work. It requires of you to do stuff. But he says abide. Now, what else does it mean? Abide means to remain, to abide, to dwell, and to live. And there's so much in this, and I don't have the time on today, or I'd be here until 2 o'clock teaching today. This word abide, the minnow word here, also is where we get the derivative for the word tabernacle. Probably one Sunday I'm going to spend on what we call tabernacle worship, which was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week worship in the temple. How many of you have ever paid attention that when you walk onto this property, there's music playing outside? Yes. Anybody ever noticed that? Yes. In case you didn't, when you leave here today, there'll be music playing. If you come up during the week, there's music playing. I started that right after I first come up here. I couldn't start it right when I wanted to because we didn't have the money to put the little system in. But that's one of the first purchases I made here outside of paying the bills to stay a church, okay? Is I said, I want tabernacle worship here, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Technology's given us the ability to do that. And the first thing we bought, we mounted out the speakers, the outdoor speakers, and I went ahead and run wires to the bathrooms. Because that's where everybody goes at the end of service when they get under conviction. So in the hallways and in the bathrooms and even outside, you're hearing this. I'm sorry, but you're still hearing this. Okay? And during the week, you're hearing music in the foyer, in the parking lot, and you're hearing it in the bathrooms. Why? This is a house that values, and he's worthy, not just when we're assembled as his church here on Sunday. He's worthy when we're not even here. And I value him that I want his place covered in worship. And we bought how many of y'all remember we bought an iPad? Or not? What was it? An iPod. Y'all remember the iPods? That was what we had. I bought an iPod, the mini. We couldn't afford the big one. So I bought the mini, and we loaded it up with like so many worship songs and just put it on loop. And now it's just all streaming all the time, and it stays fresh and current. It's just awesome. But that's why I do that, because it's biblical. It's tabernacle worship. It's all the time. It's not a choice if we choose today or not. And by the way, if you're waiting till Sunday to worship, you done waited too late. I mean, go ahead and join in today, but you done waited. You done wasted a lot of time. Again, see, God isn't just looking for singers and musicians. The Bible said, in John, it said he's seeking worshipers. Obedience, surrender, sacrifice to give him his value and his glory. Amen? Amen. Now, go ahead and put up the next note. Worship grows out of abiding. And abiding means, in other words, living continual connection with fellowship with Jesus. I hope y'all are still saved on Mondays when you go to work. I hope you're still saved on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. I hope he's still the same God that he is in here. And if you did a little bit of worship during today, you're to do some more tomorrow. Let me tell you one of the greatest worship sets I have in my truck. Man, I love worshiping in my truck. I throw my hands up sometimes and the Lord drives. Sometimes my knee will assist. I'm just like, man, I get my praise on in my truck. Why? He's worthy. I'm not waiting till Sunday. He's going to get some worship out of me every day. Because he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, every day. Amen. All right, we got to move. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 38. Jesus said unto them, okay? Them here is arguing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And if I'm not mistaken, this is one of the, I don't remember if it's a Pharisee or Sadducee, but I believe the Bible calls this person a lawyer for one of those weird groups, religious groups. And he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your, watch this now, say it with me, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then he says, this is the first and greatest commandment. That's the worship commandment. Now go back to the other verse if you can. I know I didn't put it in the note. Can you back up? Oh, they're awesome up there. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your what?
Mind.
Go ahead and put up the note. And I want to take you somewhere. At its very nature and the very core, worship is a love response to God involving our whole life. Now, worship with, let me read it again. Worship God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. All of that is in this, what we call the soulish realm. Now again, this is much deeper than I'm going to take it today, but how many know we are created in the image of God? God is Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three parts. We're three parts, spirit, soul, body. Our body is the dumbest thing about you. Mine too. All of our bodies is just dumb. Our bodies just wait to be told what to do. And they're either going to get a signal from your spirit man or your soulish realm. Your soulish realm is your mind, your will, your emotions, your flesh, your carnality. Okay? And that's why he says here, I want you to worship me with your soulish realm because your spirit knows how to worship.
Amen.
Some people say, well, I don't know how to worship. But let me tell you something. If you're born again, you've got a spirit of worship inside you. Now, that spirit knows the word of God. Now, your soul may not have been taught the word of God yet, but in your spirit, if you begin to open yourself up to worship, what I call third heaven worship, and you begin to enter into the tabernacle of God in the heavenlies and sing along with the elders and before the throne, and you picture yourself in that situation, your spirit will know exactly how to worship God. But he tells us here, it's your soulish realm. It's what you think about worship. Well, I can't lift my hands. That's Pentecostal. That has never been Pentecostal. It's Bible. I can't jump before the Lord. The Bible tells us to jump before the Lord. I can't dance. The Bible says to dance before the Lord. I can't throw my hands up. The Bible says throw your hands up and worship the Lord. This is not about a denomination. It is about there's a spirit inside you that knows how to worship God. Spirit, soul, and body. But you've got to be in love with God, not just like God. Can I say it that way? If when you're in love with God, you want to worship God the way he wants it. Truth and spirit. Because see, truth and spirit, he knows his word and he knows there's a spirit of truth inside every born again believer. It's your soulish realm that has to come into alignment. Come on. So I got to change my mind about the way I think about worship. It's not just Sunday. It's all the time. He's worthy all the time. He's valuable all the time. I owe him his worship. I got to change my heart about it. It doesn't matter if my heart's been broken this week. It doesn't matter if my heart's on the mend. It doesn't matter if my heart's joyful. He's worthy. You see, our soulish realm is the only thing that keeps worship from happening. Your body will worship if the Spirit's in charge. It's when your flesh gets involved and it says, oh, I'll be embarrassed if I move like that. Oh, so-and-so's here. I can't act like that in front of them. Then what you're telling God is these people are more valuable than you are. I love them more than I love you. I love their opinion and what they think about me more than what you and your word say about me. God, I love you. And I know I'm coming back in hard here, but okay. But this is truth. Amen. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And when you get free, you're going to worship. And you'll worship the way God says worship. See, I don't get to decide what he gets. He does. I didn't send Jesus to die. He did. So he gets to set the terms of how he wants to be worshiped. If he wants truth and spirit, that's what I got in me, then that's what I'm going to let out of me. I'm going to find out what the word says, and if my personality didn't like the word, I'm not going to try to change the word to meet my personality. I'm going to change my personality to meet the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what the word hallelujah actually means? Hallelujah, 3 syllables, praise the Lord. That's what hallelujah means in the Greek. All right, let's move on quickly. Where are we at? We're in church. Okay. Hey, we're to the last point. So what have we got so far? Worship is what? It's declaring God's worth. He's worthy. The second thing is, it begins with surrender. The third thing is, it's all about relationship. Here's number 4. Worship is, and you can't do it without it. Look at the note. It's all about God's presence. There are people that will worship without his presence. You know how I know? Now I'm not going to be one that harps on you about this. But if I get in your car, what's your music going to be? It got real quiet. And those that listen to Christian music, you're sitting there with, come on, Pastor, get in my car. I'm holy. I don't think other music will send you to hell unless you listen to it. You're looking at somebody that was raised in the 80s. Look here, I know music. I know the best music there has been on planet Earth. And it's worship music and then the 80s. I don't think it'll send you to hell, like I said, unless you listen to it and start making it your God. Okay? But I'm telling you, have a little bit of the, yeah, but make sure you've got the gospel. Make sure it's coming first. Because without it, you don't have his presence. Without his presence, you can't worship. Without worship, you can't get his presence. The book of Exodus, chapter 33, God and Moses is having a discussion about where they want to go. And God's saying, now you go here and I'll bless you, I'll bless you, I'll bless you, I'll bless you. And he said in chapter 33, verse 14 and 15 of Exodus, he there is God, God starting this conversation. He, God, said to Moses this. He says, my presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest. That's good. Everybody say, that's good. Do you know that's what most of us determine our worship on right there? Maybe not the rest. I mean, we want the rest. We want the peace. We want the blessings. If we get them, we worship. If we don't, we don't. Yeah. He don't get the word. Like I said, we hold back from him. I've even seen people's week change where they sit in church. Come on. I've seen them have a great week and they'll be in the first 2 or 3 rows. Have a bad week, they're on the back 2 or 3 rows. I mean, I've literally witnessed that. God's not being good. I'm going to sit on the back on him. Now, don't look at the back row people and think they've had a bad week. We're fortunate enough now to have a back row. And there's some intercessors back there that pray for you on the back row, by the way. Strategically placed there. But it's about the presence of God. And even though God told Moses, I'll go with you and I'll give you rest. I'll bless you there. It's going to be awesome. I love Moses' response because Moses knew what obedience was. He knew what surrender was. He knew God was worthy. And he knew about sacrificing and obedience. So here was what Moses responded to God. Verse 15. Then he, Moses, said to him, God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. We need to wake up tomorrow morning and say, God, if you're not going to go with me, I don't want to go anywhere. If I can't be in your presence, God, then I don't want to go. I don't want to do anything, God, without you. You are worthy. Holy, holy is the Lord. You are who was and is, and you're coming, Lord. And until you do come back, Lord, you're worthy every day. And I don't want your presence to go anywhere. And do you know, again, I think me and my wife was talking about it. This is the longest vacation we've ever had. We were gone 13 days. Oh, it was awesome. Yeah. Or maybe 14. Maybe I don't know, 13 or 14. Can I tell you, we took him with us? When everybody else was pouring martinis and drinks and stuff like that, we didn't go, nobody knows us here. You know what? God was still with us. And I still had my Bible on my phone. And I took my iPad because I always work on vacation. You have to. How can I say I'm not going to be a pastor for 2 weeks? How can I say I'm not going to study for 2 weeks? How can I say I'm not going to worship for 2 weeks? God, I'm going to take off. I'm never going to take off. Exactly. He don't take off on me. I'm not going to get up in the morning and call on his name and go, he'll go, nah, I didn't have time today. I need a day off from you. I think he feels that way toward me. I need a break from you today, okay? I need 2 weeks off from you, okay? No. But I'm amazed at the people when they go on vacation, it's like they don't take Jesus with them. I'm going to be good Christian Sunday morning churchgoer, but when I go on vacation, I'm going to live like hell. It's amazing. Listen, y'all, if your presence doesn't go with us, we don't want to leave where we're at. If we're in your presence now, we'll just stay here. There's nothing better than his presence. Are you with me this morning? He valued the presence of God over the blessings and the rest of God. He'll give you rest. He'll bless you over here. But God, if you don't go with us, we don't want to go over there. We'll stay right here. Because in your presence is the most blessed place there'll ever be. So again, real worship is always about seeking his presence. Two more notes and then I'll let you go. Now this one I'm becoming more and more passionate about. And this is a don't ever do this again. Okay? Don't ever ask, did I like worship today? That should never come out of a child of God's mouth. Who are you and I to think that we get to sit back and judge what it is? Whether we lacked it or not. But we have that attitude. Tell the Lord I'll get right with him. I'm preaching right now. We have sat now in the judgment seat of God and said, I didn't like that worship song today. I don't like that. How'd you like? You went somewhere else. Well, I didn't like the way they worshiped here. Who are you to decide whether it was good or not? And you know what you're basing it on? You're basing it on people's talent. You ain't basing it on the presence of God. I determined a long time ago, again, I grew up in music. I've played music. I've been around a lot of places with music in my life. Okay? And I can worship God. Now, I prefer this style. But you know what? When I go to churches and it's back to the hymnals, I don't go in there and go, that ain't what I like, so I'm just going to kind of... I worship with the hymnals. I don't care if it's a juice harp, twang, 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 and an upright, thun, 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 thun. I'm going to worship. It's not about the style. He's worthy. And I don't leave there going, that was an awful set. They got Sister Off-Tune Goose up here that can't carry a note. Sounds like he's choking a goose. That mic can try to hinder you. But if you're focused on that instead of God, it will hinder you. Go and put up the next note. Here's what you ask. God, did you receive worship from my life today? That should be the question we ask ourselves every day. God, as I lay down tonight, did you receive my worship? Because I did it, Lord. I'm doing it to the best of my ability. Everybody probably has a little time during the day, hopefully. And worship doesn't mean you have to be singing. It just means you're in his presence. But I'm so thankful for the worship we have here. Guys, I don't think you understand what's the anointing, and not just the anointing, but the talent that goes along with it that is on this platform in the middle of nowhere, Alabama. Can I tell you, and this has been everywhere I go, and I'm going to take a few minutes to share, and I believe one of the reasons that God has always blessed me to have talent and anointing around me with worship is because I'm a worshiper. And I'm not trying to sit in the judgment seat, but I know pastors who aren't worshipers. They're there to preach their sermon. They're just waiting for worship to end where they can get up there. Now, yes, there has to be an order, and some churches are in multiple services, and there has to be a time stamp, yes. And we do try to do a good job to get you out of here at a certain time, but we shoot for that. It's not our... We hit it. If you know we don't hear. Okay? But there are pastors who've never been taught how to worship either. They don't know music. They don't know nothing about it. They didn't grow up. They grew up on a computer. They just sit there and worship and go, okay, I'm waiting. Okay, y'all through. Okay, now it's my turn. It's not, you know, again, they need to learn, but I've worshiped, been a worshiper all my life, since my saved life anyway. I've always loved music. And I believe that's one of the reasons God has surrounded the area of our church with that. And I love it when I bring a first-time guest in here to speak for the first time. They've never been to Alabama sometimes. And they certainly have never been to Eva. And usually we put them in Coleman at a hotel, or maybe Decatur, sometimes according to where they fly into or drive up from. And so as they're on their drive out here, I don't know if y'all have ever drove out. Did any of y'all drove from the city out here for the first time? It's like, oh my gosh. You know, you go and you wind and you go and you wind and you don't see a house for a while. And then you see a house and you don't know if it's a house or a barn. And you roll down your windows waiting for the banjos. You know. And then you come to a four-way stop and then you go right past it. And then here we are. And I usually meet them in my office, and I'll find out what their dietary needs are, and I'll try to have some kind of snack breakfast for them, and we'll pray together before we come out here and stuff, and then we come out during the first worship song. And I love it. Because, you know, I'm over here, and I watch them, and man, they're looking at the stage and everything, and like, wow. And then usually in the first song that we're out here for, or the second one, I get the nudge. Yeah. You bring them in because of me this weekend? No. And then they'll be like this right here. At some point they're doing this. They're videoing it. And then usually I'll get the second nudge. Yeah. So you mean this is your every week stuff? Yeah. They preach, and we go to the office afterwards, and a lot of times, most of the time I'll take them out to eat, and they'll be like, I cannot believe this. I thought I was driving into deliverance to get here. I thought, Lord, what have I got myself into coming here? He said, you've got worship that I go to churches of 1,000 to 1,500 that they can't touch your worship. Not that it's a competition. I don't care the Bible says make a joyful noise. I'm so glad that verse is like that. If it said make a joyful harmony on tune and in count, or I'm going to crucify you. We'd all be dead, probably, most of us. But he says, just make a noise for me. Now, we would like for it to be on key, if you can. If you can't, stand by somebody who can and lip sync. But just open your heart up. Okay, it don't have to be that loud. And clap on time. Again, I'm going off a little bit of tangent here, but if you ever sit near to me, and I know that you struggle with timing, I'm going to jack with you bad. Because I'm going to clap like this, and then I'm going to go offbeat. And I love to watch them be like, and I start doing the offbeat, they're like. And then I'll go back on the regular beat, and I'll. It's an anointing, okay? It's an anointing I have. But don't ever leave another service and say, I didn't like that service. Don't ever ask anybody, well, how was the worship there? And it may not have been your particular like or taste, but if it gives glory to God, I'm in. Bluegrass, country, pop, rap, I don't care what it is. If it's singing to my God how great he is, I'm in there. Don't have to be my favorite, but he's God. So let's stand our feet this morning. I hope you get a declaration that worship is not what we do, it's who we are. Worship's not what I do, it's who I am, because I have a relationship, because he's worthy, because I'm ready to sacrifice and be obedient, to lift holy hands, to look what might look as crazy to some people, but glory to God. Are you with me? I lost half of you there at that one. That's okay, though. We're going to talk about some of this coming up. And it's not to make you do it. I don't ever want to make you lift your hands to God. I'll teach you in the Bible where it says he loves it. And then you get to decide if he's worthy. Deal? Come back next week. We'll talk about some of this, okay? But the last question, bow your heads. God, have you received my worship to you today? And the only way he can receive it is if it was done with spirit and truth. Because that's the declaration of Jesus' own words, that he's seeking for such to worship him in spirit and truth. Singing alone does not qualify for spirit and truth. It's not a service, it's a lifestyle. It is singing. It is in your, when anytime you're obedient to God, that's worship to him. Anytime you surrender to him, it's worship. It's 24/7. Worship is the decisions we make. Worship is the decisions of how we respond. That's worship. Worship is saying we're not going to go there anymore, but we're going to stay in the presence of God, because God's presence is not in the nightclub. God's presence is not in the filth of the world, so we're not going to go there because we'll be out of his presence. We take God on vacation. He's worthy. So this morning, right where you're at, if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the first act of worship you have to have. And the sacrifice he's asking for, just like he asked Abraham for his son's life, he's not asking you to die for him, but he's asking you to die to yourself and to let him come in and wash you and clean you of your sins and your past, where he becomes the most valuable thing in your life, because only he can do that. You can't do it yourself, and no one else can do it for you. But Jesus Christ has already paid that price for you to find him valuable and to know he's worthy and to be ready to lay down whatever you need to lay down to make him number one in your life. And if you decide you want to do that today, no strings attached, you're not going to join church today, and you will not become some religion today. You'll become a son and a daughter of the King of Kings today. And if that's you and you want to start that journey right here today, just throw your hand up and say, today's the day of my salvation. Anyone? How many would say today, I want to worship God in spirit and truth? Now, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, not in a Pentecostal way, but just as in a classroom way, okay? I want to worship God in spirit and truth. Just lift your hand up real quickly. Wow. I'm telling you, go ahead and put it down. See, I told you I'm not going to make you Pentecostal or nothing. If you mean that, the atmosphere in here will get nothing but richer and thicker. And you will start to see signs, wonders, and miracles begin to happen during worship. Did you hear what I said? You will begin to see signs, wonders, and miracles happening during worship. Healings, deliverance, people getting set free during worship because of his presence in your life. Not his presence in the building for those that are doing it, but in your personal life, because your worship matters. And corporate worship just creates an atmosphere. It's not who we are, or excuse me, it's not what we do. Worship is who we are. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just declare the blessing of the Lord. And this is just, we just scratched the surface. We're going to be going into tabernacle worship. We're going to be going into a lot of things about worship. And I hope you come back and bring somebody with you. I know next week is Labor Day weekend. But make sure if you go out of town, we bless you. Go have a good time. But make sure you watch it. Go back and get watch and listen or however. Because Father, this is too important to have the breakthroughs coming into your kingdom and the revival that you want to usher into these times we're living in. And the renewal process starts with worship and prayer. So Father, I just bless those hands that went up, that they will set aside a time every day and ask themselves, have you received my worship? Lord, we love you today. You're valuable today. You're worthy today. And you'll be valuable and worthy tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday when we gather back. And I want to give you what's due and owed to you out of my life, and that is worship. I may not ever build the biggest buildings, may not ever fill up stadiums, may not ever raise anybody from the dead. I'm going to try. But I know one thing I can give you that you love, Father, and that's worship. And every one of us in here has the ability to give you that. And so would you make that a conscious part of our walk this week? Say this with me. Say, Father, would you make worship a conscious part of my day now? As I ask you if you receive my worship. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can you give him glory in this house? Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's word, go make a difference in your world today.